Online Podcast 275.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Online Podcast. This is John, and I'm here with, as promised, for the last 2 weeks, and we've been trying so hard to get together. I have Irene with me, and Irene is, you know what I was thinking the other day, Irene? We got to know each other when we were at the cathedral, I think, from that group, Hope group, I think, right? And the cathedral in general. And it's been, well, almost, is it 10 years now?
Almost 10 years.
Yeah, yes. So welcome.
Thank you.
So we have here with us is Irene, and I think we the last few shows I've been talking about Irene. All good stuff. And I want to just get you to tell us a little bit about your background, and the reason why I'm interested here is because we just celebrated Mother's Day, and I guess you celebrated Mother's Day with your children?
With two of, well, actually, all the children. We went to Oklahoma City, and a son that lives here with a daughter-in-law and two granddaughters, they went with us, and I have a son in Dallas, and he met us in Oklahoma City, so we were all together.
Very cool.
It was nice because we were, you know, we could even do a photo because we were all there.
Well, that's nice. Now, the reason why I'm interested in, as you know, is we got to know from a gay Catholic support group. And tell us a little bit about how you got involved in that group.
I got involved in that group. Actually, I was working at the cathedral as a parish administrator. And I had met Sister... I don't even remember her name.
I know. She was the chaplain. Oh, what's her name?
That's a senior moment.
Me too.
Anyway, I met Janet through her.
Yeah.
And they invited me. Actually, Janet had called me and asked me if I would attend a PFLAG meeting in Topeka. Mm-hmm. And...
PFLAG stands for those of us who are not from the USA. It's parents, family.
Of gay and lesbian
group,
right. And I agreed to go, and it was very interesting. my husband and I have spent most of our, I'd say 30 years, working with AIDS patients and working with the RAIN team in Oklahoma City. We got involved in that. So we've dedicated our lives to getting more involved with the gay and lesbian community. I have two gay sons, and it has been a wonderful experience. A wonderful experience.
Very cool. So when, I know, I'm sure people are interested in how was the process like being... Or is there a process at all? I'm sure most people would say, yeah, there's a process of becoming a proud gay parent, like or a proud gay parent, a mother, specifically.
It is a process. It's a process where your child comes to you and tells you, and I have to say that I was not very cultured in this. I didn't understand. The first thing I did was... try to find out what this was all about. And I remember hearing a lot from the church that this was not acceptable, and being a cradle Catholic, it just, I was concerned. Mm-hmm. But my husband and I were never shocked or, you know, resented our children. Foremost, we loved both of our sons, and we knew that we had to find a way to accept it and go forward as a family. And this is what we've always taught our kids to do. You know, when you find yourself with a situation that you don't know what to do, then we explore it, and then we make the best of it, and we go on. But as it was, we found that Our oldest son had been counseling with the priest for over a year before he came to tell us, so I knew that he was concerned, and we could feel the pain in his heart. He didn't want to disappoint us. It was never a disappointment. It was more, let's study more, let's find out what this is all about, realizing that this was not a choice. We embraced our sons even more. We were there for them. They were very open about their relationships, and we appreciated that. So, I mean, my husband and I have spent a larger part of our lives when we found out about our children, just helping other parents accept their children.
Exactly. And this is the whole reason why I think it's crucial either for parents who listen to this or for children whose parents do not have this sort of response. Mm-hmm. I think this might be, hopefully, mm-hmm. I always say if one person find this helpful, you know, my job is done here. So, quickly to get the situation clarified is, how many children do you have?
I have four sons. I have, my oldest son is gay. My second son is married, 20 years, 30th of April. He has two boys. Mm-hmm. My third son is married, lives here, been married 13 years, and he has two daughters. My youngest son is gay. He lives in Dallas, and we are a very close family. And I really believe that through all of our pains and turmoil, not just with the gay issue, because I know that the other two sons that are married, especially one, had a struggle when he found out his brothers were gay. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of ridicule in the school, in the high schools, and, you know, I'm sure they had a hard time. The other one's son, the third one, just embraced it. I mean, he was there for them. You know, it was like, what difference does it make? Mm-hmm. You know, so that's how we lived our lives. We've never denied them. And sometimes it was a little difficult for me to have such an open dialogue with them, mm-hmm. because they shared a lot of things with me.
Okay.
But I have a dear friend, a priest, that said to me, you should get on your hands and knees and thank God that they're open to you. And I did, and I'm just grateful. You know, I'm not only not a mother, but I'm a very good friend to my children.
That's good. That's especially when children get older, you cannot just have the mother and son relationship. You kind of have to be able to chat and talk and
friends.
Be friends. Yeah.
You have to be friends.
What, how old, I assume your oldest son came out first? Or,
yes, okay. My oldest son. How old was he? Senior in high school.
Okay.
Yes.
So in his mid-late teens. Mid-teens maybe?
He was 18 years old.
Okay, so mm-hmm.
18 years old. He met Jamie, his partner, probably right after he got out of high school, and they've been together ever since.
Wow.
So it's Jamie is one of our family. I kind of get a kick out of it because I will be asked how many daughter-in-laws do I have, and I said I have two daughter-in-laws and a son-in-law, and I'll have people actually look at me and
it
say, but you have four sons, and I said, yes, I know.
I like that.
So I have fun with it.
Well, that's cool. And what about your youngest son?
My youngest son is still single. By the way, I'm looking for someone for him.
Now, when did he come out? I mean, does the family already know about the eldest brother being gay at that time?
Oh, yes, yes. The way we presented it to the family, we're a very close family, and you have to know that anytime we felt a need to have a family meeting, we'd all get together and talk about something. Whether it was a money problem or, you know, whatever it was, uh-huh. we all talked about it. And when we went to counseling with the same priest that our oldest son was going to, he said that we needed to be open and have our family meeting and discuss it. And we did.
That's what the priest said.
Yes, he suggested openly, you know, just bring it out. And my concern was, well, what about if we have negative response from the brothers? And he said, that's okay. The idea is that you're open. Mm-hmm. We did, and there wasn't a negative response. I could see concerns. And my comment to them was to look at life in a way that, why are we here? We are born to die. We're here to praise God the rest of our lives. Everything else comes secondary. So we're here to make a better life for ourselves, so when we do pass on, we are in heaven. And I'm not concerned, wasn't concerned about their lives, is how their education was, how much money they were going to make. I just wanted them to focus on the fact that if they were good men, they love God, they love their families, that we would all meet in heaven sometime. And that was my only concern. So if we had a big problem about this, we need to keep it open and talk about it, because that was, to me, the main issue. Everything else, God would take care of.
So that's, yeah, faith played a huge role.
A huge part, always has.
And of course, it's going to be a double-edged sword when it comes to faith. Some people would say faith is the one that killed the relationship between a religious family when they find out that there's a gay child in the family. And we'll talk about that specifically in a moment too. But when your youngest son came out, since the eldest brother has already been through that, was it a little bit easier for him?
I'm not sure that it was easier for him. I do know that my oldest son was very sad about it. Because
Why?
His comment to me was, Mom, it is so sad to see this, because this is nothing that I would have wished on anybody. It's a tough life. Mm-hmm. Every day, it's kind of like it's a bereavement that you live every day.
Right. Like
He understands the struggle. Right.
That's
you know, most of us have bereavements when we have a loss in the family or you know, something tragic happening, but...
Was he feeling bad for you as a mother, you as parents, or feel bad for his
younger
brother?
He was feeling bad for his brother.
Okay, yeah.
He knew that we were parents that would accept no matter what, so it wasn't for that.
I wonder if he, I mean, through your conversation, well, the reason why there's clapping is because we're in the church, and there's activities downstairs, and we're just upstairs. I'm stealing a little time from Irene. What I was going to ask is, did your eldest son actually feel like, because my brother specifically, the reason why I asked this is, you know, same situation, very close family, mm-hmm. you know, my family, all my parents and my sister and my brother and I are very, very close, and I can see a lot of resemblance here. But one thing that he was a little bit concerned for me is whether or not I am coming out because I always see him as a role model at home. He was a little bit concerned about that. But of course, I was already old enough. I was already, 21 when I first came out to him. And I sort of came out to each other, really. But he had a little bit of a concern, saying that, you know, I wonder if he's just doing that because, you know, his older brother, who's always been his role model or the person he looks up to, is he an influence of my pronouncing that I'm gay? Mm-hmm. So did your...
You know, that may have been some of it. I really don't know. Mm-hmm. That would be a good question for me to ask.
Yeah, because that's always something that my brother said. He was a little bit reserved with... He said, you know, he's already very comfortable with himself, but when he was coming out to me, he was saying that the reason why he slowed this process down was because I'm always his younger brother, and mm-hmm. he wasn't sure if he were to come out to me, whether or not that's going to make, you know, my decision in coming out one way or the other, so becoming that whole role model thing, whether or not he's doing the right thing.
He felt he was responsible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When really he wasn't. There was nothing he could do about it.
Exactly. And of course, those people who understand it. But let's go back to, again, we'll come back to the religion thing, because I think that's key also. The counselor, the person who counseled your eldest son, the priest, How was it, his approach? I mean, we all know in the very surface, when we all talk about being gay, and in the church, especially the Catholic Church, people would go, what? But in reality, there are also people who understand the religion a lot deeper than just what the surface may appear to be, even though, you know, there are a lot of religious leaders, mm-hmm. bishops and popes who are out there talking about something that's completely different. But when you have a priest serving the people in their own parish in a smaller scale, things may change. So I'm wondering, what was his approach when it comes to this issue?
He was our pastor at that time. He's a very open-minded priest.
That helps.
Very, very spiritual. Uh-huh. Spirituality, very, you know, a good man. And he never made my son feel less than human. Mm-hmm. He accepted him for who he was. And his goal through the counseling was to get my son to accept himself for who he was, mm-hmm. and to
That's
love himself.
Key. That's big.
Because in his eyes, as he said, when God created you in your mom's womb, he said, ah, I have created something beautiful. And there was no mistake. So to accept that, and to accept the fact that he would struggle, there would be some struggles in life, but always know that God was with him.
So he actually have a very good, went to the right counselor.
went to the right one, yes.
And I think that shaped a whole lot too. Did you at any point have any sort of struggle yourself as a mother?
My struggle was that I didn't know. I could see that my oldest son was struggling within himself, mm-hmm. and I didn't know how to make that better.
Yeah.
That was my struggle.
How funny. My mom has that same reaction too. Mm-hmm. She said, well, we came up to her through email, the technology. Well, because as you all know, my parents are in Malaysia, and we are here in America, and my mom's response was, and my brother thought it's good that they get to process it before they reply, because it's email, so they don't have to blah, blah, blah it out and say things that they may regret. We don't know whether or not they're going to do that, but we were just talking. But when she wrote us back, she said she cried right after she read the email, but not at all because their only two sons in a Chinese family were gay. Completely not because of that. It was because she didn't get to be there for us when she thought that we probably needed the most support when, you know, growing up.
Exactly.
The whole struggle.
Exactly. And that is very important, because you see your children and, you know, there's other problems. We bring them out. We try to deal with them. But I know that he carried this within his heart for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that's what made me sad, that he didn't know how to say it, mm-hmm. or how to, you know, tell us. But at the same time, we didn't know how to help him.
Right.
And that was sad. Things were a little bit different with my youngest son. You know, we were very familiar. We were more understanding, I think, at that point. And it's kind of a reverse role, because my oldest one is so secure. So accepts himself so very well. And my youngest one still struggles. And I see his struggle because of the church. Mm. Because, you know.
You mean right now, even today?
Even today, the struggles.
Different personality.
You know, the idea that he hears this from the pulpit, he hears this from,
everywhere,
you know, everywhere, right. And he is... He loves his Catholicism, mm-hmm. you know, and he just, he's kind of torn. And I think another thing that tore them up was the fact that they all went to Catholic schools. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like a double-edged sword,
yeah.
because they heard, you know, from priests and teachers saying this is wrong. yet they didn't know how they felt inside, and they knew that they were different, and to hear this was like, but these are priests, these are, you know, teachers that we really look up to,
right.
And so it was, I think that's, that was his main problem, and I tried to explain to him right now that, you know, these men of the cloth, they're just men also, and
yeah.
Some of them have a bigger heart than others. Some of them are filled with the Spirit more than others.
Just like all of us, human
exactly,
beings.
Exactly. We're human. And just not to take it so lightly, not to base the rest of your life on something that a priest said to you when you were growing up. Be open-minded and let the Spirit speak to you.
How since you've learned from... I know, of course, this is like the sweetest thing that you can hear from a mother is that my mom always, especially somebody who, you know, still practicing their religion, she said that she's very blessed, and she said she's blessed that she has two gay sons. She said that when I told her about this thing that I do called podcasts, which is what I'm doing right now, is to share my story, share my friends' stories like Irene's. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that is going to touch somebody and also let somebody know that what you're walking through right now, the path I've been through, and I turn out okay. And she said that you're doing God's job right now. That's what my mom would tell me. It's like, you know, you are chosen to be gay because you are going to use this to perhaps help somebody else.
Exactly. Exactly. I believe that with all my heart. And I also believe that if parents would be as open-minded, get rid of those phobias about, you know, they're so traditional, you know, their values are, you know, one way. And I can understand this, but when you start having a family that God granted you, because we have to remember that these are not our children. He loaned them to us to raise here in this world, because we will have to answer for them when we go meet our Maker. And I think that parents need to be open-minded. Whatever values, whatever characteristics they expect, they need to put them aside. They need to think about those children that God loaned them, and they need to do right by them. You know, I cannot fathom it. And I've seen this many, many times. That's why I've been so involved with PFLAG and with RAIN Team out of Oklahoma, because someone will say, come out and tell their parents, and suddenly their suitcases are out the door and I don't want to see you again. How can you possibly? Unless you're more concerned about yourself, oh, what are people going to say, you know? And ashamed because you don't understand it, and very close-minded because you don't want to know. You've already formed an opinion, and that son or daughter means nothing. That is so cruel. So cruel.
What a waste, too.
What a waste. What a waste.
What? And that is exactly it. I was thinking also when you were talking about how your focus was on your son's struggle. My mom especially, never heard from my dad. Well, my dad is always just, happy. It's okay, whatever, you're happy. And... My mom's focus, your focus was on us when their children came out to them. And I think it is the complete opposite when it comes to parents who did not react quite so nicely, is their focus was on them. Even though we're talking about their gay children, but I think the focus was on them. They are the one who didn't know how to deal with. They were the one who has... to have to face other people and do all those explanations. So I think that that's probably why. Now, is there a time or after you've gone through all this experience, what do you say, or have you encountered an opportunity to use what you've learned to change, or actually, or at least get parents to think differently?
Yes, when we lived in Oklahoma City, our pastor came to us and asked us if we would be open to counseling other parents he told us that, you know, I think our parish was maybe 1,800 families. He said, you would be surprised how many of those families have gay and lesbian children. And a lot of them are struggling. Would you be open to sitting with them and telling them, sharing your story? And we did. We did sit with some of them. One of the saddest times was sitting with a family when their son and daughter was, son was dying of AIDS, and them not accepting it. Several situations where their son has already passed, and they're still dealing with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we've been open, honest. You know, the question that I've been asked many times is, well, aren't you afraid that, you know, the church feels this way and you're going completely against the church's will? And my answer to that is that this comes up a lot. And I have to be honest with you. There's times when I have that worry of, am I really doing right by my children by accepting who they are? And all I do is go into prayer and I get the answers that I need. And yes, I am doing right by my children. And I know that God is pleased with what I'm doing. As I said, I encourage my youngest son to find his mate. Find someone that he can marry. Or, you know, now you can't get married, but at least a final bond. You know what
soulmate,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Soulmate. Because, yes, yes. I don't think God intended us to be alone. And I want him to find someone that'll love him as much as we love him. And he has so much love to give too, you know? So it's just a wonderful relationship, just like my other two sons that are married and have children. You know, they're happy, and we're happy for them. But we have such a special bond for the oldest and the youngest.
I think a lot of times is, and of course, we can't say one cookie cutter for every family. You know, everybody comes out in their own time, their own ways. But is there like a general advice, or where do you even start by asking parents to go to PFLAG or seek counseling even before you made up your mind that you want to accept your children? I think there is a point where it's going to be up to the parents whether or not they want to do the accepting. And sometimes they say, yes, I want to accept my children. I don't know how. I go to PFLAG. But what happens to parents prior to that, like before you even go into the process of willing to open up for accepting your children?
Well, that's kind of hard because, first of all, parents are ashamed to talk about it. So unless that young man or young woman come out and the rest of the world knows that they're gay or lesbian, it's kind of like a secret. And parents have such a beautiful way of keeping such a secret, you know?
Yeah.
So a lot of times it's not until there's some seriousness there that someone else would find out, right? Or in our case, when our pastor would come to us and say, I'm going to call so-and-so and tell him that, you know, you'd like to meet with them and see what they say. Yes, was a comment from some, and no, from others. So the only thing I can say about that is you just need to pray for those families and just for them to realize what a beautiful son or daughter they have and to accept them for that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I know that, you know, we talk about religion, and the fact was that one time we went to a prayer service, and this was regarding families that had not problems, but could share things that was different in their lives. And we shared our talk about our two gay sons, and we had this one woman that I remember shared about her having her daughter was a prostitute. And it was very sad for me that this woman actually came up to me after the prayer service and said that she felt so sorry for me that I was double whammied with two gay sons, and he would definitely pray for me. And I just turned around and I said, ma'am, I think you're the one that needs prayers, because you know my sons didn't choose to be gay, but your daughter chose to be a prostitute. I said, so I think there's a big difference there. And it made me angry, but I kept my composure and I just said what I had to say. You know, because and this is the thing. I think this is the key to parents understanding. The fact that this is not a choice. And they think it's a choice. And they listen to all of this, you know. And I'll have people say to me, well, you know, there's a group up there. There's a program up there, a religious program, that is just, you know, it's all a demonic problem. And it's going to beat it out of them. And I just laugh. And I said, you know what? I've been through all of that. I've seen it all for 30 years. You know, and let me tell you, all those men that came out on TV saying that they were cured and they were married, they're now divorced and they're still gay. You know, it's like me. I'm a female, okay? Unless I have a sex change.
You can't change
it. I can't change it, you know? I can't be
Caucasian tomorrow. I can be black the day after.
Exactly.
I'm Asian.
Exactly, you know? So that's what I'm trying to say. Let the world understand this. Let these parents understand. But I think when children come out and tell their parents, they're still not sure of why they are who they are. And I think that's what gives them the insecurity. And then imagine being rejected from the parent. That's even more insecurity. That's where you see the drugs and you see, you know, the
suicides.
Yes, you know.
Depression.
We used to go to Dallas to visit our son, and he used to work in a bar. And my husband and I would go in there, and he was a DJ, and all these his gay friends. And, I mean, it was like we were sitting separate because he was talking to this young man, and I was talking to that young man. And we were counseling. They were coming and saying, we can't imagine that you are here with your son, you know. And we were open. And we would tell them, anytime you need to talk, whenever you're in pain, call us. I mean, that's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your mom is right. There is a role for us as parents, as well as for our children.
Yeah.
Because it's a very important thing that we try to help other families.
Yeah. And I really think this is, your sharing your stories is great, because not only is it possibly this landing into the ears of parents who are struggling right now, or in the future may have gay children, or I know for sure there are a lot of gay children listening to this, gay, lesbian, you know, bisexual, transgender, all sorts of not the regular cookie mold that we see, and that is going to be helpful, and I'm sure many of them yearn the talk with a mom like this, like you, and a mom like mine. And I feel very blessed and very lucky to be able to have a mother like that, who's just, since the first day, with an open arms, not knowing too much, but let's find out together sort of attitude, mm-hmm. rather than just say, no, this is not what I know, so push the children away. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing the stories with us.
It's wonderful. I'm very happy you've asked me to do this.
We've been talking about doing this for over a year, since last year.
We'll have to hopefully do this more often.
I'm sure there are other stories to tell. I'm sure there are other things that maybe even you can think of that you want to share with us that I haven't thought of. Mm-hmm. We've made it happen once. I'm sure we'll make it happen again.
I would love that very much.
Yeah,
very much.
See, because I, you know, maybe even from a father point of view.
Yes.
Or any other aspect of what you've learned, because I know 30 years of experience of going through all this whole process, it's not just going to end up in a few 40 minutes of chat. Should we have something
30
more?
Plus years, actually.
Yeah.
30 plus years.
Well, thank you very much for doing this, Irene.
Thank you.
I would definitely, and I'm pretty sure there are shows that I do that I feel like, ugh. And there are shows that I do that I know whether or not people like it, I'm going to be proud of, and this is definitely going to be one of the ones that I feel proud of.
There's a lot of things that we can later discuss about religion and how we've overcome all of those obstacles.
I have listeners who are completely went away from religion and hated it because of the fact that their parents, because of religion, cannot accept them. But we'll save that for another topic, another show.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much, Irene, for sharing your stories.
Thank you.
And all my listeners, please go to my website, onlinepodcast.com, and leave your comments there. Or you can call me at my comment line, 206-888-JOHN, and leave me a message. And you can also go to my website, actually leave me a MyChingo message too on the website, or send me an email, online@gmail.com. And until next time, don't forget to smile. Bye-bye.